If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Atlantic Coast Mortgage, Equal Housing Lender, NMLS 643-114.
720 WGN with John Landecker at 836.
Yes.
Hello? Is this Rich?
Hey, John. How are you?
Okay. I was wondering what kind of reception we're getting, and I guess it's okay. Attorney Rich Linecoff.
Is it okay?
Yeah. I'll check with engineering. Is it okay? It's okay. As long as we can understand what you're saying, that's fine with me. Rich Lankoff, Capital member, Downey Lankoff, co-host of Legal Face Off, WGNRadio.com. Always like it when you come on. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff here in your legal brief, so to speak. Some of it's sort of like flashy. Some of it's not so flashy. I want to start with the flashy one, at least in my opinion, okay?
Flashy's always great.
All right, here we go. The Taylor Swift Travis Kelce prenup is got to be one of the, I don't know how many pages it could possibly be, but there is so much to go over with these two as far as their, I mean, everything's great. We're dating and we're watching, we're going in the publicity and we're going to get married and we got married at Madison Square Garden. And now we're going to get lawyers together and put together prenups. What do you think that's like?
John, the good news is for you. Your trusty legal correspondent has an inside scoop from inside the legal team of the Kelce Swift marriage.
Really?
So I can tell you all about... No, I'm just kidding. I wish that was the case. But unfortunately, it's mere speculation. No one really knows what this prenup is all about, but... lots of speculation, of course, given how much money is involved. I mean, Taylor Swift is worth something like $2 billion. Travis Kelce is worth, you know, a lot of money as well.
Mm-hmm.
But given how much money is involved, it seems logical that there would be a prenup. Some specifics about this particular prenup that are interesting is that there's lots of speculation online that, for example, the prenup would include a stipulation that Taylor Swift, who is famous for writing songs about her broken relationships, could not write a song about Travis Kelce in the event they split up.
Oh, man. For real?
Right? Because she
you
is...
You actually think there would be something like that in there?
You know, prenups have any kind of language that the parties agree on could be in there, so that might be. But, of course, more commonly... it would involve the split of any financial assets that were acquired during the marriage. It's expected, again, given how much money is involved, that it's fairly simple, right? That she keeps whatever she had before, he keeps whatever he had before, and they split what they have acquired together during the marriage. That's probably what the prenup has, but we don't know.
Well, that would make sense. What's yours is yours, and what's mine is mine, and... you know, they're both extremely, they're both rich on their own, as you mentioned. I mean, she's a billionaire and he's a millionaire. And, you know, they were doing very well before they got together and they would do well together. You know, I just don't like the idea of prenups, though, because there's a part of it that assumes that there could be a possibility of a divorce. And that's like, wow, I'm going into my marriage with the idea that there might be a divorce. Fantastic. You know, I mean, I can understand if you have that much at stake, if you're worth that much and you have that many holdings and how many houses she holds and all of that. But still, I don't know. I think it puts a damper on it a little bit, quite frankly. How about
you know
this?
What also puts a damper on things? When you have to split in half a $2 billion fortune. So
that's true.
In this case, given that there's about a 25-to-1 ratio between, or a 25-to-1 split, between their assets, it's probably inevitable that there's a pretty airtight agreement.
Oh, yeah, there's got to be. Let's move on to this Boosie, who is a rapper. This is a strange legal twist, if you ask me. Apparently, he paid some lobbyists to lobby Trump for a pardon, and he didn't get it, so he's trying to get his money back. Is that right?
Yeah, very interesting. As a Louisiana rapper, I've not been very familiar with the catalog of Boozy Badass. I know it's one of your favorites, but
you know it.
Boozy purportedly hired a lobbying firm in D.C. and paid them $300,000 to secure a pardon from Donald Trump. He had been convicted of charges for possessing a loaded weapon at a music video shooting in 2023. And we know that, Trump has handed out many pardons. He hired this firm and paid them $600,000 to push for his pardon. And he did not get the pardon. And now he is seeking to arbitrate the issue as a precursor to litigation, seeking to get back the money he paid for this pardon he never received.
Wow. I don't think lobbyists are in the business of returning payments just because it didn't work out the way they wanted it to. I mean, I don't think that he's got does he have a case? I'll ask you. You're the lawyer.
Well, listen, it's a much simpler issue than we might think. It's simply a contract issue. At the end of the day, it's a contract issue, right? He's alleging that he contracted for a certain result with his firm, that he paid to get a pardon, and he did not get the return on that. He did not get what he paid for. Mm. The question is whether that is, in fact, what he bargained for. Did this firm promise a pardon? That seems unlikely that anyone would promise something that is supposed to be at the discretion of the president. But what it does open up is questions about whether these pardons were being sold off, right? And we know that Trump is a deal maker, and of course, he was giving out pardons, in return for something, is what the allegation goes. So it really is a simple contractual issue. It depends on the wording of the contract. But, I assume that this lobbying firm did not say, pay us $600, we guarantee a pardon. How would they guarantee that?
I don't think any lobbying firm lobbying for a certain cause cannot guarantee an outcome. You're trying to sway somebody's opinion on who knows what, but you can't say you're going to be successful. I mean, it's just, you're dealing with human beings. You know what I mean? You can't just, no reason that you could guarantee anything like that.
That's right. That's why it's called lobbying. It's not a purchase agreement, right? Otherwise, it would just be a simple contract of sale.
Right. I'm pulling your thumb, so to speak. Or finger.
That's right.
Not your thumb, your finger. Now this next one, I'm going to take a break and come back because this next one to me is so personally upsetting. I can hardly take it, but I'll face it when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, John Landecker with attorney Rich Linkoff. I have been a lifelong University of Michigan football fan from the moment that I could walk. I grew up in Ann Arbor, have been following that team. My dad taught at the University of Michigan, and the recent events around that team, around the coaches, the alleged stealing of signs, the infidelity of the coach is just so disappointing. I guess that's one way of putting it. And hard to believe, and you sort of wonder, where did they lose it? It didn't used to be that way. And I guess there's now a new Michigan sign-stealing lawsuit. Is that correct?
Yeah, one of the former coaches who lost his job in the sign-stealing scandal has now filed a lawsuit, John, alleging that basically the university was aware of these things long before this was all disclosed, and that they covered it up, and this was a university-wide program. And you're right, they also referenced the scandal involving the former football coach, Ron Moore, who was fired after it was revealed that he was engaged in a relationship. The university was also aware of that. So this is a very you know, if true, it does raise lots of serious questions about, you know, in the words of another former legal scandal, what they knew and when they knew it.
Yes, and not that the university's reputation is, what, the most prominent thing in all of this, but it certainly is taking big hits as far as its respect, I would think, from the NCAA and the other university and higher education institutions in the United States, because, you know, I think for a long, long time, you know, Michigan held itself up as something a little above, something a little special. And that's crumbling right down very rapidly, if you ask me.
Well, and to that point, you know, what's very interesting is that if you remember, the sign stealing scheme was only uncovered when there was an investigation into the former offensive coordinator in 2023, because he was facing criminal charges for hacking into hundreds of female student athletes' accounts and stealing private photos and videos. And the lawsuit alleges that they were covering that up and the sign stealing story because they didn't want the public to know that, you know, they knew about this hacking. That's really bad as well, right? If the university was aware that there was hacking into the private photos and them being exploited that way, that gets into all sorts of other issues that the university doesn't want out there. So, yeah, very problematic.
So this coach alleges a cover-up and that he was scapegoated, right? Is that, I think that's part of his
correct
case, yeah.
Yeah, wrongful termination, and he seeks back, you know, back payment, but the bigger picture is, yeah, the damage to the reputation of the university could be much more difficult long term.
So where does that lawsuit stand? Is that just started? Is it midway? Or at what point is it? And it's,
yeah, that was just filed in June. So only at the very beginning. But, you know, if you're Michigan, you probably want to settle that case fairly quickly and get it out of the news and have people like you and me stop talking about it. So I imagine they'll probably try to settle that fairly quickly.
I know some people that are never going to stop talking about it. Trust me.
right.
Yeah, they live in Ohio, most of them. This has always interested me. These mergers in Hollywood have been going on for a while, and the latest one, as far as I understand it, is the Paramount-Warner Brothers merger, and there's a lawsuit, and I think 12 states in the United States are seeking to block the merger. What's their problem with that, other than it would be just an unbelievable monopoly? But other than that, what's the problem with that merger?
Yeah, 12 states, and just today, literally, the Writers Guild of America, which is obviously the biggest union representing writers, they sued to block the merger of Paramount, Skydance, and Warner Brothers, on the grounds that it violates antitrust law and would basically harm writers by giving them far fewer opportunities, lower pay, right, worse working conditions. Basically, with the allegations that by consolidating these two major companies into one, you're going to eliminate competition and, very simply put, less opportunities for writers and less protection.
Were they suffering on their own, Paramount and Warner Brothers, before this idea of a merger?
Well, it's a great question. The short answer is yes, in the respect that, you know, the old studio system is pretty much dead, and these are two of the remaining large studios. So to the extent that there's redundancies and they could consolidate their catalogs. I mean, they both have still some lucrative catalogs to exploit, but, you know, the studio system isn't what it used to be, so that's what they are using to overcome the antitrust allegations.
You know, I don't believe I may have missed it in the past, but I don't believe I've heard of a coalition of states combining together to join in one cause, and in this particular case, the merger. 12 states, I think so. And how right. did that come to be? How do these states form their coalition to do this?
Yeah, same allegation that this merger, because it's so big, would reduce competition in this industry and affect their states. Remember, these are states, in addition to California, I mean, there are so many states, including here in Illinois, make a lot of money off giving tax incentives for productions to come in and make film and movies there. You know, Illinois isn't what it used to be in that department, but there are many states that do really well for the filming in their states in exchange for tax incentives. So those are some of the states that are suing.
Well, that does make sense. Yeah. And it also goes back to the fact that Hollywood's not what it used to be, because there, you know, if you go back long enough, the idea that you would make a Hollywood movie in any other place but Hollywood would be laughed at. But now not only do they not make them in Hollywood, they make them internationally. There was a movie.
Most productions are overseas.
I'm referencing this again, but that's just the way it goes. There's a movie that came out on Netflix called Death by Lightning, and it's about a president of the United States being assassinated in the 1800s, and that's what it's about. There's no other plot other than this all-American history story, and the entire thing was done in Budapest, Hungary. Which is like, okay, but that, I think that's is symptomatic of what's going on, and maybe part of the fact that Paramount and Warner Brothers may have taken a hit or two with the exodus of some movie productions from, you know, the hallowed halls of Hollywood, if you will.
Yeah, I mean, most of these productions are made overseas. You know, Hollywood has almost no production happening there. It's because it's so expensive, obviously, to hire, you know, local labor. But that's what these lawsuits are about.
That's right. Well, once again, Rich, thank you so much for being with us. Always informative and entertaining talking to you about the latest legal developments in the world of entertainment and beyond. Thanks again for being with us, and I look to talk together soon.
It's an honor always to be on with a legend. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
He always says that. All right. Thanks, Rich.